Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Autism and Scouting Radio, your source for acceptance, enrichment, inspiration, and empowerment within the Autism and Asperger's Scouting communities. Our show will be starting shortly. To listen to archives of previous broadcasts, visit www.autismempowerment.org and click on the Autism and Scouting or Autism Empowerment Radio tab. As a nonprofit charity, we rely on public generosity to fund our programs, special events, support services, and radio broadcasting. Thank you for considering a tax-deductible donation today. Our show is now beginning.
Hello, and welcome back to Autism and Scouting Radio. My name is John Krejcha, and today I'm joined with Autism Empowerment's Executive Director, Karen Krejcha.
Hello, everyone.
Autism and Scouting Radio is part of the Autism and Scouting is part of Autism and Scouting. It's a special program developed and administered by, through and by Autism Empowerment. To get more information about Autism Empowerment and the Autism Empowerment Scouting Program after the broadcast, please visit us at www.autismempowerment.org. You can also join us on Facebook, Twitter, and a variety of other social media outlets there. If you're interested in upcoming broadcasts or listening to any of the previous broadcasts in archive or via podcast, we have all the information there, so you can just go there, get the information, and it's right there at your fingertips. We had two wonderful shows last week. First, on Wednesday, September 19th, we had Karen Mansfield of Troop 5280. Troop 5280 is a unique troop from the Boy Scouts of America, which is a transitional troop. It's a troop that works with special needs youth and scouts that have never been in scouting before. They worked with each scout and then placed them in a more traditional unit. I think this is probably one of the best-kept secrets in all of the BSA. I strongly urge you to go back and listen to that show and learn more about the unit and what they're doing in Colorado. Karen will be actually back tomorrow, Wednesday, September 26th, and we'll talk about advancement, and this one you won't want to miss either, because advancement is very critical when working with scouts with disabilities or actually any scout. On Friday, last Friday, September 21st, we had our first ever panel. We had three members of Troop 2. We had Teddy Hinton, who's the scoutmaster, Scott Pope, who was the committee chair, and the advancement chair, Cindy Pope. We talked about a variety of issues. They're actually going to be coming back in mid-November, so look for them coming back then. Also, just a quick reminder, again, you can listen to both the Autism and Scouting Radio and Autism Empowerment Radio shows, both at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes. So if you've missed any of the past shows, go ahead and go back and listen to those there. We're trying to mix things up a lot by bringing in leaders, talking to different topics, having leaders from different units that are special needs. We're trying to bring in autism experts, authors, inspirational stories. And today we're going to be doing some autism empowerment unique content, because it's important to understand that we have a lot of content we want to be able to deliver to scout leaders and scouter families out there. Today, the content we're going to be talking about fundraising. It could be a holiday wreaths, candy bars, popcorn, Girl Scout cookies, or any other product. Fundraising is a critical part of a unit's lifeblood. So today I'm co-hosting the program with Karen Krejcha. Besides being Autism Empowerment's Executive Director, she was a Girl Scout and sold many, many boxes of yummy cookies. She's also has over 20 years of selling experience herself, doing outside sales, inside sales, and for the past 13 years, she's been running an international gifts and collectibles business selling products all over the world. In fact, the fact that she's an ASPE has not held her back. It's one of the things that probably propels her. She's done almost every single type of selling there is in scouting. Without any further ado, let's bring Karen on and get to the meat of the topic. Hey, Karen.
Well, hello. I'm still here. Thank you for those kind words. I do remember my Girl Scout cookie selling days. In fact, I think that nowadays I'm a very good customer. So.
So it's all about the money, 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 right? if you're talking Donald Trump and some of the other shows out there, sometimes the lifeblood of units to get fundraising going, it pays for a lot of stuff. But before we get started, can you talk about why it's important to explain to the scout why they need to go out and do fundraising?
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of important to get into the scout's world, get into the person's world, and kind of get to know where they're at, because children with autism and Asperger's syndrome, we like routine and structure. We like to know in advance what's going to be happening and when and where and with whom. We also like to know why. And in order for, I think, a scout on the autism spectrum to have success with fundraising and in a lot of things in general, they need to kind of understand what the reason is behind it. And if they want to get motivated, it's helpful to explain how it directly relates to their world. So, for example, you want to answer the why. With scouting, for example, this will help pay with fundraising. This will help pay for you to go to the camp where you ride horses. What you want to do is try to look for something within scouting that they have done before that they like, or if they are brand new to scouting, show that, you know, whatever it is that motivates them to, within scouting, you want to kind of play on that special interest and tie in with that. For example, this will help you pay for all those neat badges that you have on your sash. You know, which badge is your favorite? And get them talking. You want to have some sort of structure and visual, and you want to get them motivated by not so much, you know, playing into what the group goal is, even though those types of things are important, but in order to really get that scout on board, they have to see that there's something in it for them, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. So getting the scout on board, it makes a lot of sense, and that way they kind of have a buy-in, something, a reason why they're doing it. What about the parents? A lot of times, you know, I hear from them saying, I don't want my child to go through a rejection and have people reject them, or I don't want my child to have the pressure of selling or having a goal. Can you talk to concerns about the parents a little bit?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I find that oftentimes it is actually the parents that are more reluctant to do the fundraising, especially with their kids that have special needs, whether they're on the autism spectrum or not. And I think that it's usually coming from a good point. They're being a little bit overprotective. They don't want to have the child be taken advantage of. But at the same time, it's important to let that parent know that a skill like fundraising helps promote self-reliance. And that's a skill that they, you know, really want that child to have. It also promotes volunteering. It promotes philanthropy. It teaches a sense of responsibility. And if you help the parents see that there are good reasons behind the fundraising, they'll be a little bit less apprehensive. I think it's important to let the parents know that we don't want to marginalize the child or make them feel that they're going to embarrass themselves. Sometimes, you know, our kids on the autism spectrum, they can do things which the general public who may not have that much familiarity with autism might see as a little bit different, a little bit odd. They might stim, make noises, they might spin. But in order for us to really, truly accept the children for where they are, we need to show that. And that doesn't mean holding them back from things. It means giving them that opportunity to thrive and succeed. So I would, and that goes with the leaders as well. They do need to understand that their children on the autism spectrum, they are going to have some different challenges. They may not like crowds. They may not like socializing. You're going to have some routines and structures put into place, but they can still be successful. We just need to kind of adapt things. Just as in school, you may have an individualized education plan. In scouting, you should have an individualized scouting plan. And for fundraising, you can also have an individualized fundraising plan for that that scout that will help them be more successful. And I think if you can let the parents know that you're on their side, that you're not trying to take advantage of their child, that their child has a lot to be able to contribute to society, it will be a lot easier. And please keep in mind also that some of the parents that you may be working with may very likely be on the autism spectrum as well, so they may have their own hesitancies as well. For me as a child, it was much easier for me to go out and fundraise because I automatically liked talking with adults. As a child with Asperger's, undiagnosed, of course, because there wasn't a diagnosis down back in those days, I just loved going door to door, and I had no problem asking for a sale. Now, not everybody on the spectrum's like that, but you'll find a lot of kids with Asperger's feel more comfortable actually talking with adults than they may with their own peers. But once they get older, there may be more of a challenge. So some of the fear may be that parent's fear, and, you know, letting them know that they're accepted as well and that it isn't really, you know, the bottom line is, you know, okay, there may be money for the unit that's needed, but the bottom line is it's really not all about the money. And it's about building some skills and teaching that self-reliance and responsibility that is part of scouting in general.
That's really good, especially I know so many scouts, obviously on the autism spectrum, and it's funny because a lot of times they're some of the best sellers, and you wouldn't necessarily know it, but once they're given that chance to succeed, they really enjoy it. In fact, our youngest, Ryan, he keeps on pushing to go out and sell Reese, popcorn, whatever it is, and he wants to get out there, and because he just wants to be out there trying to sell. So not marginalizing the child, I think, and not holding them back in constraints is a really big and wonderful concept to take away from this. Now, when the unit first starts, usually they have a big kickoff of some type of thing, and there's a goal. And goals sometimes can be really hard. The concept of 1, 2, 3, you know, getting to that goal. Can you talk about setting goals and reward systems for potentially scouts on the spectrum?
Sure. Goals can be concrete, but they can also be kind of abstract. It's like, okay, I need to raise, say, $500. Okay, you may be able to see that, but you're not able to really understand how do I get to that point. So sometimes things like that, it can be overwhelming. I like to, you know, tell people that rather than focusing on that big thing, I mean, those kickoff parties, you know, with the prizes and all that, they're still good. You know, it kind of gets a group motivated. But I think what's going to be really much more effective for helping scouts on the spectrum, and actually even any scouts, is to customize a program for them where they have their own special interest incentives. A lot of the prizes that you see in these fundraising things, either for the school or scouts, they're generic prizes. And some of them are exciting for kids on the spectrum, but some of them just aren't. And if they have no interest in going for the prize, then that's going to be a kickoff that isn't going to have a whole bunch of motivation or success. So I think it's important in advance for the leaders and for the parents to try to develop some special interest incentives that go directly with the child. For example, these are things that can be said or suggested by parents or leaders. It could be with the younger kids, it could be stickers of their favorite dinosaur or it could be things like a favorite book or, you know, special time with their leader and a parent. It doesn't have to be something that's super expensive. Time, you know, doing a favorite activity is often a real big motivator. You know, getting an extra 10 minutes on the computer or, you know, a special snack at a certain time. There's a lot of different things that can motivate a scout. And although, again, it's important to put them through the program that the scouting organization offers, I think it's, you know, in order to really help the individual scout, it's important to create their own individual scouting plan that they have. And it can be structured, you know, in a list. There can be visuals along with it. And we were going to end up having a lot of information about this on the blog that John has actually started writing, and I've been helping him along with. We don't have time on this show to really go into a lot of the nitty-gritty details, but we definitely will go into that in more in-depth and give examples there on that blog later.
Like, for example, many units give gift cards. You could say to the scout, you like Pokemon, so with that gift card you can buy X amount of Pokemon cards or whatever, or something.
Right.
You could definitely, you could tailor something that was even within the existing program to make sure that the child is motivated as well. So we have a lot of questions. We have about 15 minutes left, so we're about halfway through. You're doing awesome so far. There's some wonderful tips already, some great gems in this already. Let's get actually into the general fundraising part of it. Are there some general tips that you can suggest to the listeners, just generally? Because I know there's four different areas that we want to try to cover. Family sales, door-to-door sales, storefront, and online. But are there any general tips that we can give as a basis?
Okay. Well, in fundraising in general, in the scouting programs, as you said, there are usually four different areas in which scouts are asked to sell. The first is family. Then there's door-to-door, which may or may not be something that your organization chooses to do. You want to stay within the rules of your organization. There's storefront sales, and then for some fundraisers, there's online. Some ideas that can be used no matter what type of sale is being out there is that if your scout's going to be talking with someone directly, you want to make sure that they're wearing their uniform. And you want them to try to be looking as neat as possible with their shirt tucked in. And if the scout has clothing issues, that's okay. You know, have them dress in the clothing that's as close to the scouting group that they're a part of. You want them to feel comfortable. That's really important. But at the same time, you definitely want them to show the person that they're selling to that they do have that scout spirit. If the scout is verbal, having them write out a script in advance that they can use to say, it doesn't need to be perfect. If they're too perfect, it may not come across as realistic. But at the same time, if you've got a perfectionist scout that really likes to have things lined up, you know, that can work well. But it's important, I think, to practice with buddies in advance the scripts and the things that they're going to say and use. There are general, tips that we'll be giving with almost any fundraiser from the organization, and generally those are really good. But it's important to remember that practicing for success, but also practicing for rejection is important in advance, and that it would be very helpful, especially for scouts on the spectrum, to have that opportunity to be able to have more practice than probably than you would have in just, a regular scout meeting. So it's good to start by going to family, practicing with a friend or a peer, being able to go to someone that they feel comfortable with, someone that's going to probably be an easy sale, but to also have that person also practice with them on what it would be like if they said no, and practice different objections that way.
That kind of ties into to family sales too, then, right?
Right. Yes,
the practicing.
No, go ahead.
No, so that's wonderful. There's some great tips. So family sales is kind of easy. You kind of go, have your family do as much as they can. But you don't want to put the pressure on the family either, correct?
Yeah, I think a lot of times that families you don't know socioeconomically. For families, autism families, Asperger families, families of kids with special needs, there are additional financial challenges that accompany those things. And so sometimes it may be uncomfortable. You know, fundraisers don't expect the families to be able to chip in all of their own money all the time, especially when you're selling at the beginning of a school year, when they're expected to sell for their school, they're expected to sell for every group or organization they're a part of. And quite frankly, there's a lot of competition out in the neighborhoods. You know, in general, if your group has an opportunity to start a sale before the school year or something that's not what everyone else is doing, you want to set your group up for success. You know, if you're having a popcorn sale, which is popular in the Boy Scouts at this time of year, try to get in on it, and this may be a little after the fact, but try to get in on it at the beginning. You know, you don't want to get in on it in the middle when, you know, everybody's already been, you know, hit up for that kind of sale. You want to try to get in, sell early and sell often, and, you know, you want to ask for the sale as well. It's important, again, to prepare a written agenda of what's likely to happen, because that's going to lower anxieties. And you can use visual timetables. Like, for example, if you're going and you're selling storefront sales, and usually what happens is that, like, in front of a grocery store or so, you'll have people that will be selling the popcorn or the candy or whatever it is. But it's important for scouts on the spectrum to have some sort of, because they have struggle understanding time, it's an abstract concept, to know exactly how long they're going to be there and exactly what their goals are within that time, so that they understand, you know, what's going to be happening in what order, and to be able to bring sort of a picture timetable to show them what they're going to be doing, and also to be able to practice asking for the sale. Those things are really helpful.
Since you mentioned storefront sales, what are some other storefront sale tips? Because that's really big this time of year also, where you see the tables set up in front of the stores, people selling either the cookies or the popcorn or whatever. Some other great tips for there?
Well, remember that when you go to these types of things, it's going to set you up for more sensory issues, okay? Because there's a lot of traffic, and a lot of times kids on the spectrum may not be too thrilled with crowds or with strangers. Some are okay with it, but some not so much. So it would be good to take that youth to the store in advance. You don't want to necessarily have them sign up for the first shift, because you want to maybe be able to have them go and a little bit early and watch and get a feel for what's going on, so that they understand, you know, what it's like. And you may need to, you know, take them and walk them around the environment first, you know, get there, you know, in advance and show them that, so that they feel that familiarity and it reduces the anxiety. You want to plan ahead to be able to find a place to take a sensory break if needed. You don't want to have just that scout and one parent. You want to be able to have other people there too. And if you have a scout that's selling at the same time, it would be good to have somebody who's had a little bit more experience. Make sure to, you know, set up something in advance where they split the sales and that they work together and that they encourage each other. And because the scouts that, you know, if you happen to be in a pack where you combine neurotypical scouts with scouts that are on the spectrum or with other special needs, it's important for them to be able to work with each other. And they can actually learn from each other that way and encourage each other as well. And I think giving incentives for the number of times that they ask for the sale, focusing not so much on their sales itself, but how many times that they try and they ask. Because in sales, one thing that we always know is that, you know, there's going to be a lot of no's, but you have to keep asking for the sale. And the more times you ask, the closer you are to that next sale. And so giving them incentives every time that they get that courage to ask is a good thing, because that's going to lead to more sales. And you'll begin to find, actually, with a lot of these kiddos that it'll, you know, it'll be fun for them. And you want to have it be fun, because if they're not having a good time, then, you know, it's not going to be that effective. So that those are some of the things I think of in terms of storefront. They always want to, of course, use good banners and be polite. It's helpful for the parent, that their parent, to actually stay there, even if there is another adult that's there signed up. I think it's really important for the parent that knows that child the best especially if there may be sensory triggers or other things going on, to stay there and help, at least in the beginning. You know, obviously if your scout's more experienced or older and they can do it on their own, go for it. You know, that's okay. But with the younger ones or with the ones that, you know, may have not had much experience with fundraising, I think it's important for the parent to be there as well.
What about the use of either a social story or a social or a picture story?
Well, I think those are great in advance to use in front of storefront sales, door-to-door sales, family sales. I think that whether or not someone is on the spectrum, it's important to have visuals to kind of show the story. We all learn differently, but when you can do a picture story or a social story where you're writing it out and explaining it in real time, that gives, again, the idea of what they can expect. And you can practice one where they've successfully received a sale, and you can draw one where the person that they're asking for the sale says no, and how they're supposed to respond, say, okay, you know, and thank them and so forth. So we will be giving examples of that on our blog as well. But, yes, those are very effective things. Again, understanding that scouts with ASD tend to respond better to seeing things visually taught to them and having that routine and structure and schedule and consistently having that, repeating that, not just having it in the kickoff, not just having it home beforehand, but having it at the environment where they're going to be at so that it transfers to them. Eventually you may find it will become natural and they will start to memorize scripts, and you know, some scouts will need more help. Some scouts may not need any. Some are going to be your best sellers in your group, you know. But, again, to try to...
Building life skills, basically.
Yeah, building life skills, teaching, again, self-reliance. Oh, and one thing I definitely want to mention with everything is that safety is really, really key. I think that most fundraisers, that's going to be one of their first components when they're giving out rules to kids. But, you know, especially with our kiddos that may be a little bit more vulnerable or naive, we want to make sure that they are not going into people's homes, that they are not going, you know, with somebody in a storefront out to their car, that they really know the safety rules of staying with a buddy and being with an adult and not talking, you know, and following those safety rules, because that's paramount. We don't want these children to be taken advantage of. We don't want any children to be taken advantage
right.
of.
We have about 3 minutes left, and
yikes.
So far we. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
We still haven't gone over the door-to-door sale, so we have about 3 minutes to go over that. So let's get some good tips for when you're doing door-to-door sales. You're doing awesome and great, wonderful tips so far.
Well, can you just turn back the clock? See, I needed to have my visual timer here. Okay, so door-to-door sales, those are ones that parents can be really apprehensive of because, and you have to respect the parents' rules. There, in some cases, your scouts that are on the spectrum may not be allowed to go door-to-door just because of they may be wanderers. It just may be a challenge within the family. So we still want to try to encourage it, but respect the parents, you know, if they happen to have those rules in advance. You want to definitely do it with buddies. I believe that it's important to also have a parent and a scout leader there, even with the older scouts, just as, you know, to be there as supervision. You want to definitely practice the sale beforehand, including a positive sale and a negative sale. You want to explain to them, scouts in advance, that not everybody is going to say yes. In fact, a large amount of trying doesn't end up with a sale. But, again, use a social story and a picture story to show your scout what you're going to be doing. For example, in box one, you have a picture of them walking with them down the street. And in the next box, they would be walking up to the door of a house. In the next box, you would show a picture of them knocking or ringing the doorbell with the scout smiling. In the next box, showing a picture of what they're selling to the person who answers the door. The next box could be purchasing the item and paying. And then the next box would be the scout giving the product and saying thank you with a smile. I think, and there's other examples as well for different scenarios. I think it's with door-to-door sales, it's better to have a tangible product than to take orders. I know that a lot of organizations have it where you take orders in advance and come back. That's not to say that can't be done. I did that myself when I was a kid. But I found that it's better for sales if you actually have the product there that they can visually see. So if at all possible and you have an opportunity for your scout to check out product, that will be a better option. Again, give them the chance to try the other things, but especially with the younger ones that are just fundraising for the first time, it's helpful.
We got about 30 seconds left. So why don't we go ahead, any last 30 second minute tips?
Oh my goodness, there's so much to cover. I think it's important that you make sure that they follow their organization rules and that they stay safe. You know, everybody wants to have a successful fundraising campaign, but not at the cost of the safety involved. And so I really think that the bottom line is it's not just about raising money. This is an excellent time to reinforce everyday rules for safety. It teaches common sense in world situations. And if presented correctly and supervised properly, fundraising is a positive life experience for children. It teaches the benefits of volunteering, philanthropy, and responsibility.
We're
going
to be cut off here. Sorry to cut you off, Kay. We have about 5 seconds left. I just want to say thank you for everyone coming on board. Check out the blog that we're going to be writing. Both Karen and I are going to be writing it together. And have a great scouting day. And stay safe and fundraise. Bye.
Get those sales. Bye. Thank you.